Well, if you take your Bibles this morning and open them to Mark chapter 7, as we continue our study through the book of Mark. And today's message is entitled, The Power of Persistent Prayer. As we continue our study in Mark's Gospel, we come to a passage that reveals a mother with a desperate need. As much as she would like to have handled the situation, she was unable to bring about a resolution. While little information is given regarding the identity of the woman, we do find that she was a woman of persistent faith. She faced a tremendous need and was determined to get to Jesus to receive the help that she desperately needed. She was content to receive the crumbs that fell from the Lord's table. Let's begin reading in chapter 7, verse 24. Jesus left that place, and he went to the vicinity of Tyre, and he entered a house and did not want anyone to know, yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. First let the children eat all they want, he told her, for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Yes, Lord, she replied, but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Then he told her, for such a reply you may go. The demon has left your daughter. And she went home and found her child lying on the bed, and the demon was gone. Father, I come to you this morning, Lord, and I thank you for the beautiful picture that we see today of God's love for every single person. Lord, I just pray that we would understand that God loves every person in this world. He hasn't chosen to love a few. He hasn't chosen to love just a select group. He loves every single person. Lord, that's you. You love every single person. And Jesus came so that we could understand your love. And there's no doubt this woman, this mom who loved her child, realized how much Jesus loved her as well. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus had been continuing to share his word with everybody around, and he continued to heal people that were hurting. He had fed the 5,000 plus all their family, men's family. He'd done all these things. He'd come walking on the water a couple of weeks ago. We looked at that. But today he's continuing his ministry as they got across the lake to the other side in a place that's called Tyre and Sidon. And in that area, it was the same area basically that a few weeks back we looked at, he had gone to. It's just up north of the Gennesarenes, and it's the area where the person that was eaten up with all these demons, he went and confronted him and all, let the demons go into the herd of pigs. And then he told that man to go back and to tell his family. When he comes again, man, everybody knows about him. Everybody's heard about him. Everybody sees the difference that he made in that one man's life. And so this woman had also heard about him, and she came to him specifically with a petition. See, she had a dilemma in her life. Have you ever had a dilemma in your life?
Yeah.
Yeah, we all have. And there's no doubt about the fact that she was struggling. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, the woman whose little daughter was possessed by evil spirit came and fell at his feet. See, it's not told to us how long this had been going on in her daughter, by the way. We don't know if her daughter had been possessed for a few days, for months, for years. We don't know that. But it was such a struggle to the mom that she just knew that she had to find some type of resolve somewhere. And when she heard about Jesus, and she probably had heard about the Gadarene demoniac, and she'd probably heard about all the other people who'd been touched by the disciples going out and casting out demons, she just knew that she had to go to Jesus. I wish people today would realize that what they really need is to go to Jesus.
Yeah.
They really need to know that he's got the answer to everything that they're going through. There's one thing this mother knew. She had a great need in her life and she couldn't meet it. I think it's frustrating sometimes as a parent when you have a child that's hurting or they're going through something and you can't meet that need. You know, it's like they might be bundled up in some type of addiction. They might be bundled up in frustration. They might be bundled up in anger. And it's, you know, you can talk to them and you can sit them down and reason with them and all those kinds of things. But the fact is, they are bound.
Yes, sir.
And Jesus is the only answer.
Yes, sir.
Jesus was her only answer. And she came to the one that she knew could do something about it. She needed help, so she came to the only one she knew could help. And Jesus was her only hope. You know what, folks? There's a lot of people in this world that their only hope is Jesus. Their only hope is Jesus. She had a dilemma. But she was also devoted, and look what it says in verse 26. The woman was a Greek, born in Syrian Phoenicia. But she begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. She knew that she wasn't a part of the so-called religious crowd. She knew that she wasn't part of the Jewish race. That every Jew had told everyone else that they were the chosen people, which they were. But it's almost like they held it over everybody's head. You know, God must love us way more than they love you, than He loves you. Listen, she knew that she needed to go to Jesus. She heard that He was in town. And I tell you, folks, when you hear that Jesus is coming, by the way, we're going to hear that Jesus is coming soon.
Yeah.
Because He is. When she heard this, she just had to go and see Jesus. And I want to read this passage. It's not in your outline, but you could write it out to the side. In Revelation chapter 1, when John was on the Isle of Patmos, and I want to read this passage to you beginning in verse 2, chapter 1 of Revelation. It says, He made known by sending His angel to the servant John, who testifies to everything he saw, that this is the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy. Blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart, what is written in it, because the time is near. And it just continues on. And immediately when we get into like verse 9, it says, I, John, your brother, companion in suffering, kingdom and patient endurance, that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. And on the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which says, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches. And I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet with a golden sash around his chest. His head and his hair were white like wool, white as snow, and his eyes were blazing like fire. And his feet were like bronze in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. And in his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. And his face was like the sun shining in all of its brilliance. Now listen to verse 17. John says, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though I were dead. And then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. I hold the keys of death and Hades. Now listen, folks, that's the same person that she was standing in front of. And look at what it says. She fell at his feet. You see, folks, there's an incredible picture for all of us. That when we are confronted with Jesus, we will fall on our knees. We will fall on our knees. This was a symbol, by the way, of submission and an attitude of worship in that day. But let me tell you something, folks. It's not just in that day. Philippians chapter 2, Verses 9 through 11 says, "Therefore God exalted Him, Jesus, to the highest place and gave Him the name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus," what does that say? "Every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue can acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." I'm just telling you something, folks. One day, when you are confronted with Jesus, you too will fall on your knees. And that's exactly what happened to her. She saw Jesus and she fell on her knees in submission and an attitude of worship, realizing that He was the only one who had the answer to her issue. Every person will fall to their knees in His presence.
Yes, sir.
Now, let me just make one other thing really clear about that. When it says all people will fall to their knees in His presence, That's the consecrated people who have given their lives to Jesus and the atheists who said He never existed. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Listen, folks, this is an important aspect of our faith that's often overlooked and neglected. Some view the Lord as their personal genie in a bottle. They assume that He's waiting for them to rub the bottle so He can appear and meet their request. But every need we have needs to be couched in prayer and adoration, falling on our knees before God. How long has it been since you fell on your knees and asked God to do something? Do you know that He's the only one who could do it? We see next her difficulty. Look at verse 26, the first part. The woman was a Greek. She was born in Syrian Phoenicia. This is her difficulty. She wasn't a Jew. And she didn't know how Jesus would receive her. She didn't know if she could even talk to Him. By the way, this was during a culture where women were not supposed to talk to men that they didn't know. They couldn't come up. And in fact, if you recall and remember the parable of the woman who had an issue of blood, one of the reasons she came up behind Jesus and just tried to touch His cloak, because she was afraid to address Him without Him addressing her first. And that's what happened. She touched His cloak and she was healed immediately. And Jesus turned around and said, "Who touched me?" Not so He could find out who touched Him, because He already knew who touched Him. He wanted her to respond. And when she did, He was able to address her. She wasn't a Jew. She had a problem. She was a Greek. She wouldn't even welcome into the Jewish synagogue. Listen, folks, that ought to just tell you something. Religion has never changed. And there is religion everywhere. And people that are very religious, they don't want to receive other people because they're above other people. And there's people who don't want to come to church because they don't feel religious. I don't want religious people here. Jesus isn't looking for religious people. He's looking for people who love Him and who will follow Him. She was a Greek. She wasn't welcomed in the synagogues. We are much like that to the lost. We hold them at arm's length as though their sinful lifestyle might rub off on us. Listen, folks, did Jesus go to all of the synagogues only? No, He went into sinners' households and ate with them. He went into all kinds of places where other religious people wouldn't go. But He did this because He knew those people mean just as much to Him as anybody else. And so sometimes we are kind of like that. Somebody that we know that's living the wrong way and living in sin or whatever, we just kind of hold them at arm's length and we don't want to be too close to them. But folks, we are the salt and the light, and we need to be making an impact on this fallen world, not running away from them.
Amen.
She needed something. What she needed was the touch of Jesus in her life. Her daughter needed the touch of Jesus in her life. And she had this desire. And so in the second part of verse 26, it says, she begged Jesus. to drive the demon out of her daughter. She needed a miracle, folks. She had tried everything. She'd probably been to every, you know, specialist that she could think of. She probably read everything she could read on it. She probably went on the internet before they had it. She probably did all the kinds of stuff that she could do to try to figure out how to get rid of this demon that was haunting her daughter. Her daughter needed a miracle. But she believed that Jesus could do this. You see, the word here for beg literally means that she would not stop. Have you ever heard of persistent prayer?
Yeah.
That's exactly what this is. She knelt before Jesus and she just began to tell Jesus, I need your touch. My daughter needs your help. Please help my daughter. Please don't let her stay in this situation. Please, God, do something. Please. And there's sometimes we just need to be on our knees and be persistent in the prayer closet and say, Lord, I need your help in this area of my life. I need your help with my family. I need your help in my job. Lord, I need you. She was persistent in her asking. We too need to be persistent in our prayers. Look at this passage in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them they should always pray and not give up. Let me just ask you to do something here real quick. It says, always pray and never give up. Can you say that in your own heart and mind right now? And let's say it verbally, always pray and never give up. I need to say that to myself sometimes, because there are a lot of times I go, oh man, I don't know what's going to happen and I don't know what to do. Always pray and never give up. He said in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God or cared about people. He didn't care about what they thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. The other translation says, or wear me down. And the Lord says, listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God bring about justice for His chosen ones who cry out? I tell you, He will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will He find that kind of faith here on this earth? The Lord is looking for people who will just continually come into His presence, bring their needs to Him. You know, it's almost ludicrous how many people live their lives. When they have needs in their life, they try every single thing they can think of to figure it out, and their last resort is always prayer. When it ought to be our very first thought in our heart and our minds. If you've got struggles, if you've got problems, anybody in here without any of those, by the way? We all have them. Our first thing that we should be doing is coming to Him persistently in prayer. She was also very persistent. Look at verses 27 and 28. First, let the children eat all they want, Jesus says to her. For it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Yes, Lord, she replied, but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. See, she had heard what Jesus had said. Jesus' answer kind of seems harsh at first, but He was simply establishing that He had come to the Jews and then to the Gentiles so that they could believe. Secondly, He wanted to test her faith. He was giving her the opportunity to know who He really was. See, He didn't want her to think that He was just some kind of a magic guy that had come to town. He's the Son of God. And in doing what He was going to do, He's letting her know this comes only from God alone. He wanted her to know He had no desire to carelessly deal with those, much like the Pharisees, who lacked faith and rejected His deity. You remember when Jesus was going to be put to death, and they sent him from Pilate's palace over to see Herod. And so what did Herod do? Herod, instead of saying, well, you know, I will pardon you, I'll let you go, or whatever, he wanted Jesus to do a miracle for him. You remember that? You know, walk on that water. I heard you can do that. You know, and if you do it and it's really cool, then maybe I'll cop your plea and let you go. What did Jesus do? Nothing. See, Jesus could have walked on the water. He's done it before. He can do it again. He can do anything. We see, some people just want God to do something so that they can see that He's really real and that He can really do things like that. Listen, folks, if you read God's Word and you don't still believe, then there's a problem there. Because God is continually doing things and still is doing a miracle in many people's lives. He was giving her that opportunity to know He was the Son of God. He also wanted her to know He had no desire to carelessly deal with the Pharisees. You see, the Pharisees would come and ask Him to do certain things as well. Wouldn't do it. Because they did not believe that He was the Son of God. In verse 28 was the supplication. She knew that even though she was not a Jew, God loved her too. She said, yeah, even the dogs under the table. Yeah, I realize I'm not fit socially. I realize I'm not in the group that was picked by God to show Himself through. I realize that. But even the dogs under the table get some crumbs. I know God loves me too. And I know God loves my daughter. Even the scraps of the Lord are better than men's attempts to provide. You know, we could do all kinds of things to, you know, give money and try to meet people's needs in all the physical ways of this world. But you know what? More than those things, which we ought to be doing, by the way, but more than those things, what people really need to know is that we don't have a checkbook that we're just going to, fill out their physical needs. They need to know we care about them. They need to know that God cares about them. She's just asking for a portion of God's grace. Even a crumb to her would do. Think about that picture. I just need a little bit of help, God. She knew the problem that she faced and that it was not too difficult for God to handle. Listen, folks, no matter what you're going through, no matter what your family's going through, no matter what your friends are going through, whatever the situation is, it's not too difficult for God. He can do all things. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says, now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. God can meet your need, no matter what it is. And so look what happens, verse 29 and 30. I love this. Then He told her, for such a reply, what kind of reply was it? It was a persistent, faithful reply. Lord, I know You can do this. And even though I'm not a part of the Jewish race, I know You can still touch my daughter and heal her from this demon. I know You can do this. For such a reply, He says, you may go. The demon has left your daughter. In other words, Jesus had already taken care of this. Then He told her, for such a reply, demons left your daughter, and she went home and found her child lying on the bed, and the demon was what? He was gone. He hadn't backed off for a little while to just come back later. He was gone. The word gone there means it's taken care of no more. That demon has no chance any longer to affect the life of this little girl. This is a moment of hope for the mom. When she heard Jesus say that, I'm sure that she was wondering, how could that possibly happen? That he could do this, not even going to see my daughter, not even, you know, doing some kind of spiritual ritual over her, not, you know, anointing her or whatever else. How could he do that? Because he's God. Jesus saw her great faith. This was a moment of hope for her. And I can just imagine her thinking, man, I can't wait to get home to see what's happened. I can't wait to go home and see my daughter. Jesus rewarded her persistence. He told her to go home. The demon was gone. This was also a miracle of healing. See, faith brought her to Jesus. Faith sustained her through the trial. And faith brought deliverance. You see, it is by faith in the One who can do all things that the actions take place. We have to believe in faith. A lot of times we call on God and say, well, I don't know if He'll listen to me, or I don't know if He'll do it or whatever. We got to have faith and trusting that what He needs to do, He will do, period. What is it that you're facing today? Just know that nothing is too difficult for God. He will meet all of your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Listen, folks, this beautiful picture is not just about a certain woman who came to Jesus, although it is. It's not just about a woman who wasn't a Jew who came to Jesus, which it is. It's not just about a mom who had a child who was hurting, which she was. It's about anyone who realizes that they have a need, and the only one who can meet that need is Jesus. He is our only hope. And by the way, He's our best hope. He is our best hope. Let's pray together. Father, I come to You this morning. And I thank You again that we can always come to You because we know You're listening. You care. You love us. Lord, there's no doubt that there are people here who may be struggling, having issues, having family members who have issues. Just knowing that the only possible way for a resolve comes through You. There are a lot of quick fixes in this world that seem to work for just a moment, but then they turn right back into what they were, or even worse. But Father, when we come to You, we know that You have all the answers because You are the answer. And You are the way and the truth and the life. And so, Father, I pray that we would walk by faith and be persistent in our prayers and never give up, because we know You love us. We know You care. We know You're there for us. And You're looking for people who will simply submit themselves to You, call upon You. And when we call upon You, You will answer, and You will show us great and mighty things which we can't even comprehend. This mom loved her daughter. She had a problem. She came to Jesus. And Jesus heard her prayers and answered immediately. Father, I pray that we would walk in faith just like this non-religious woman who was not even a part of the Jewish race. Didn't matter, because You love all people. No matter who they are, where they've come from, what they've done, You love them all. Father, I have to admit to You sometimes, Lord, I don't love people like that. There's some people I kind of like, and then there's some people that don't like that much. It has nothing to do with liking. It has everything to do with loving. And Father, I want to love people like You love them. And I want to be able to reach out to them with Your love. Because that's the only kind of love that'll work. It's not some self-made love that I can try to conjure up in my own heart. It is the love of Christ Jesus that brought me to the cross, which will also bring them to the cross as well. Father, I pray for that kind of love in this congregation, in this world, in the churches across this nation and across this world, that we would love people like You love people. And Father, I pray today specifically if there's anyone who's not yet trusted You as their personal Lord and Savior and asked for forgiveness for their sins and trusted You with repentance in their heart to become their Savior and Lord, that today would be the day. Today is the day of salvation. Father, we call upon You this morning. We ask that Your Spirit will move as only You can. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to stand and sing a hymn of invitation. If God has spoken to your heart, I'll be here at the front to receive you and pray with you or help you in any way that God leads. Let's stand and let's begin to sing.
In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure, be very sure, your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus, yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only
pray right now. Father, I just pray for Your hand to just work in our lives right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, folks. You're dismissed.
Thank you. Thank you.